We're back here on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Juliet Frumholt, and now we're going to talk about Brainiac, or more properly, Brainiac Transmissions After Zero, the new documentary film that chronicles the band, their history, their tragic ending, and celebration and revitalization of their legacy as of late. The film made its Dayton premiere a couple weeks ago. It was totally sold out, and it's going to be back in the Miami Valley Friday, May 17th at the Neon for a week-long run. It'll also be premiering down in Cincinnati on June 8th at the Esquire. I spoke with Eric Mahoney, director of Brainiac Transmissions After Zero, earlier this week, and here's a little bit of that conversation now. How long has this idea to do a documentary about Brainiac been rattling around in your head? When it came up online and I first saw that you were doing it, it kind of came up out of nowhere. And yet I know you as a member of this musical community, and you've got a lot of love for Dayton in, you know, your prior documentary. So when did you decide that you wanted to do this?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that the story has been one that has always been rather fascinating to me from a couple of different perspectives. So, I mean, the answer to that could go back as far as, you know, 20 years, just, you know, because I've always been a fan of the band and always have been really enamored with their music. And then when they sort of encountered this tragedy with Tim's passing, you know, aside from that, the healing that went on there, or, you know, in some cases not for many, many years. It was always interesting to me to think about, like, what do you do on the other side of something when your life kind of, takes a 180 overnight, you know, in terms of thinking about the other guys, in the band. So I remember right after Tim's passing, thinking that about those guys, like, well, what do you do when you're like in your mid 20s and, you know, seemingly things are kind of laid out for you and the future is very bright, and then you kind of have to reassess everything, you know? So, a long-winded answer is that I've always been thinking about their story and this story. A more succinct answer would be, I think, you know, mid 2016, I was sort of wrapping up an anthology film that I produced. It was called Madly, and we'd kind of taken on the festival circuit, and I was sort of looking to think about what the next move was in terms of projects. And, you know, I had a couple of things swirling around, and I started thinking about Brainiac again, and I started looking at the dates, and it had been 20 years almost since Tim had passed, and 25 years since, like, the band kind of put out their first record, and it kind of seemed like these milestone years were coming up in 2017. And so I thought, you know, this might be a time to actually reach out to all of them and see if this is something they wanted to participate in and revisit this story at this time. You know, it kind of just felt like the timing was right. And I think it did actually play out that way. So, you know, it's something I've been thinking about for decades, and also then, you know, really thinking about doing for, you know, the past 3 years.
In terms of the timing being right and those initial conversations with the band and with Tim's mom, what was that conversation like? Because I can see both through the film and through, you know, the live shows we've seen here in the community, there's been a lot of really amazing healing and a lot of, you know, celebration, where there used to be much more mourning and grief. What was that response like, and how did you tackle those conversations in those very early days?
It was surprisingly loose, and you know, I actually thought there'd be a lot more vetting of me that would happen. You know, because I actually had never even spoken to Tyler or Juan in my life, or certainly I'd never met Linda, Tim's mom, or his sister Lori. Never met them. So I kind of got in through Michelle Bodine, who was the original guitarist, who I've known for many, many, many years. And I think I called her first and said, you know, I had this, you know, idea. Would you kind of help facilitate that in you know, introducing me to everyone? I'd known John very briefly, opening up for him in Enon for some shows a long time ago, but really didn't know him either. But yeah, I just called all of them individually and just kind of said, you know, I just think this is, I think you guys were a brilliant group of artists. I think it's a story that's kind of slipped through the cracks of time a bit. You know, I would love to explore it. And I was surprised. They were all just kind of like, okay, cool. I don't know if my Dayton-ness helped me in terms of, you know, in terms of them being comfortable with me right off the bat, or if I, you know, or if just being involved, like you said, in the music scene there for so many years, or if it was Michelle's kind of, you know, recommendation or whatnot. But yeah, we just, you know, I just called all of them individually. We had really long conversations. I kind of talked them through like what, you know, what I was thinking in terms of the creative and how to do this. And they, and everyone just seemed very much on board and ready to talk. And so it was a very relatively easy process to just kind of like get up and running with everybody in terms of them signing off.
That's awesome. And you hit on something that I'm really interested in when you said your Dayton-ness. So in both North Dixie Drive and in Brainiac, we see just like so much hometown love, you know, and so much respect for Dayton as a place that I think is missing in a lot of, especially in a lot of media that is meant to be seen beyond this community. You know, I think about, mm-hmm. we had the PBS Frontline documentary that, you know, depending on who you're talking to, either did a quasi okay job or a terrible job, you know, portraying our town. You've seen
right.
so many documentaries about, you know, sort of the decline of Dayton and all of that. As a filmmaker who is going in with, you know, a certain goal and objective, and also as a Daytonian and, you know, I'm still going to call you a member of this community, even though you don't live here anymore. What was that kind of balancing act, especially in regard to this project, of showing off the band and documenting this story and kind of celebrating this moment in Dayton music? And really, it became, to me at least, a celebration of Dayton. How do you balance that out?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that those two parts are very intertwined because of who these guys were as people and as a artistic collective, right? So I think they were always, part of their mantra was repping the fact that they were from Dayton, Ohio. It was on their t-shirts and it was in their onstage banter, and it was constantly something that they were referring to or, you know, representing. So I think in telling their story, inherently you kind of have to cross over and talk about the city, you know, and how it influenced the band. Personally, I mean, I've just always felt a lot of pride from being from the area. It's something that, it's a town that continues to be somewhat majestical and interesting to me in terms of the inhabitants, in terms of the creativity that's come from there, in terms of the amount of innovation and invention that has come from that town. It's always been a source of pride, of mystery, frankly. You know, it's just something that I've continued to be interested in exploring in terms of film projects. I don't know. My partner on the film, Ian Jacobs, who produced the film and edited the movie and was, you know, pretty much, you know, we worked on this every day for the last almost 2 years at this point. You know, he was very instrumental in dialing me back on stuff a little bit, since he's from Boston, and he did a wonderful job, because I think, you know, my perspective on it can be a little skewed in terms of what I think is interesting or important. So he was very, very good at, like, you know, listening to me ramble about Dayton for an hour and be like, okay, these five things are really interesting as an outsider, you know, looking at this, at showing this film to, you know, a global audience, potentially, instead of just like, you know, one community. So he was very helpful in terms of really curating what was important about the town and the story and so forth too. So that was helpful to me as an artist, to kind of have someone there in the room that would, you know, help facilitate some balance as well.
You need that guy on every project. You really do.
Yeah. Otherwise, it would have been like a 4-hour movie about, you know, flying pizza or something. I don't know. But like, yeah,
I would watch that. I'm just saying.
Well, right. I mean, yeah, you know, exactly. But yeah, no, he was super helpful because it was great. It was great to kind of hear like what was interesting and not interesting from an outside perspective and into you know, figure out what it is that we wanted to convey in the story and telling the band story and then weaving in the town a little bit as well, you know, which I think, again, kind of has to be done with this particular group of artists.
The response here in Dayton when this project was announced and, you know, the original crowdfunding campaign started coming up, it was like electricity here. You know, the whole community was kind of buzzing about this and very excited for it. I'm curious what the response was in the larger entertainment community. I know that you worked with and featured folks that are on a national and international level in terms of music, and you had support from Mark Hamill and people like that. What was that like as you got going, the response from kind of beyond Dayton?
Well, in terms of people that are familiar with and or love the band, it was the same. I mean, I think that what's so special about this group of artists is that they elicit such an incredible amount of enthusiasm from people and love from people. And it's a real testament to them as humans, the way that people feel about them. I didn't personally know a lot of the more famous, I guess you would say, people that were in the film. But reaching out to everyone was so incredibly easy, because it was just a matter of like someone saying like, oh yeah, so-and-so is a fan, here's their email address, and then just shooting them an email cold, and they would respond, say, Brainiac Doc, yes, I'm in, you know, immediately. So it was really nice to see how much people care for them and to kind of get that reassurance too, that, you know, I wasn't making something that was so esoteric, that, you know, people wouldn't be interested in it. And it was from all over the globe. I mean, we still get a lot of, emails and support from overseas and stories about people seeing their first Brainiac show. And, you know, people really love this music. And again, I think it's something that fell through the cracks a little bit in terms of when they existed, which was sort of pre, you know, cell phone and internet, and the whole music industry changed very shortly after, you know, their time as a group was over. So, you know, I hope that this project in some small way kind of hips people to this really incredible body of work that I think has gone relatively unnoticed, aside from the people that are just, you know, ravenous fans of the band. Go Freaks, go!
To that end, what has it been like taking the film to South by Southwest, to, you know, all of these different premieres, where the audience is presumably very mixed? You know, I'm sure there are some diehard fans in any crowd, but you also, I'm assuming, have, especially at South by Southwest, people that are just interested in film and documentary. What's it been like introducing them to this story and this band as you're premiering the film all over the place?
Well, I mean, that's been tremendously helpful too, because yeah, you're right. After every screening, we get, you know, many, many people coming up and saying like, my boyfriend or girlfriend brought me to this because they love the band. I don't know the band, or I was brought here because, yeah, I had a film pass and I had 2 hours to kill, you know, so I came. And the response has always been very overwhelmingly positive from these people that say like, yeah, I didn't even know that music scene existed, or I'm not familiar with that scene or that time period, or this, I don't even like that kind of music, but the story really grabbed me. And you know, I've even gotten emails from people like several days later that's like, I can't stop thinking about this film. From a narrative perspective, you know, and that's part of the reason why Ian and I did this too. I think Ian came on board because he just thought the story was so incredible. He was not even super familiar with Brainiac when he kind of signed on to do this film with me. And so, you know, I just think that, you know, Tim's story in particular, being of like this incredible musical pedigree from his parents, who were just very talented musicians in their own right. Being this charismatic front person, musical genius, getting together this group of people that were so unique and compelling, and going on this rapid trajectory, and then it all just sort of ends in tragedy, is it's a fascinating story, and also, you know, this might be jumping ahead a little bit, but the process of this has been so healing for all of those that have been involved, that that component to this, 20 years later, having them sort of talk about this for the first time in a lot of ways and get on stage and play this music again and listen to this stuff again and engage with audiences again for the first time, that whole narrative is really compelling to me. And I think that that's been resonating with audiences thus far, which is a really good sign. And again, like, kind of reiterates to me that, like, we're on the right path with this.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. I talked to Tyler a couple of weeks ago as ahead of the first premiere, the Dayton premiere that was sold out, and the show, the reunion show at the Brightside. And one of the things that he spoke to was the experience of, you know, the shows leading up to this, to the film, and the interviews, and this whole process has been so healing in ways that he couldn't anticipate, you know, when this whole project first came up. What has your experience of that been as, you know, kind of the facilitator of this, you know, perhaps unexpectedly, but this has really allowed, you know, both the folks in the band and I would wager the larger music community that was surrounding Brainiac and Tim at the time of his death, I think that this has been a huge healing moment, you know, for a lot of people. What has your experience of that been?
I get a sense of that too. It's slightly overwhelming emotionally. I mean, that's been a byproduct of this that I really absolutely did not anticipate happening. And when they started to share this, that was starting to happen. It kind of began with, we had a tribute show here in New York that we filmed, and it kind of bookends the documentary. And that feedback started happening around that time and after that concert from Tim's family and the band, that, like, wow, I actually have a different perspective on this entire event. And, you know, a lot of people, even locally, that were very close to the band or Tim, that had some reservations about seeing the film, have since come on the other side and said, oh, you know, this movie is actually really healing. And it's not about tragedy, and it's not about sensationalizing that. It's actually a really funny film, and it's life affirming. And I think that Ian and I worked really hard to get to that place. I mean, there's a lot of sensitivity involved in this, and, you know, we would spend long days, you know, having conversations about how to treat this in terms of how we're portraying this event on the screen and what the takeaway emotion is. And it's just been, it's a wonderful thing. It's a gift to me to hear that in some way, this kind of crazy artistic endeavor that I went on served to help someone's emotional healing from a tragedy. It's really powerful. And I feel a lot of gratitude to have that response and to hear that from people, because that was certainly something that I would have loved to have happened, but I didn't necessarily anticipate happening in such a deep way. So it's just, it's incredibly fulfilling and gratifying. And again, I'm just kind of humbled to be a part of it. And I just feel wonderful that it's helps people in any way.
Eric Mahoney is the director of Brainiac Transmissions After Zero. It's screening at the Neon May 17th through the 23rd. Tickets are available now. We've got a link up to that and information on the Cincinnati premiere, which is happening June 8th at the Esquire. You can find all of that at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio.